everybody. Welcome back to Popcorn Premieres. I'm your host, Logan Thompson, joined as always by
Ethan Kaufman. Hey, hi, and hello, everybody.
So we are going to start off with a little fun moment here.
Fun little item that we've got.
Yes. Ethan has received an item from your grandparents?
I received this from my grandma's brother, my great uncle, my grunkle, if you will.
I love that.
Yeah. And this is just, I don't know if I'm going to bring this every week or if this is just like a one-time thing and then the novelty will be lost.
Okay.
But I thought you would really appreciate this. It's Jason Statham's head. Because he knows what big fans we are of Jason Statham. And so he figured, why not get Jason Statham's head? It's a little mini Jason Statham head that we've got here.
Where did he get this?
I don't know. It costs $5.95, I believe. It came in like a little blue gift box with some cotton balls. I think that the facial hair he like drew on separately, I think he came like...
He
clean
drew,
shaven.
He drew your
or like painted or something. I don't know.
Your grunkle drew the facial hair?
I believe so.
That is amazing.
But now Jason will always be with us, which is what we always wanted.
Yes.
So
we did.
Yeah.
And it's like mini.
It is
beautiful.
Mini. Yes.
Oh my God.
You're just in shock.
I am.
Yeah.
Hundreds of beavers.
What is this?
You saw it, right?
I didn't see it. I know.
Oh, I thought you did.
And I know nothing about it. Except that it's like this crazy thing.
You need to see this.
I know I need to see this. I don't know what it is. What
That's
is it?
That's the point.
What is it?
It okay.
Or so, is it better to go in blind?
So I will do a little bit of explaining okay. Hundreds of beavers.
I've just seen for this circulating online as like some crazy thing I need to go see.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about this. So
okay.
Hundreds of beavers for. Anybody listening that doesn't know what Hundreds of Beavers is the greatest movie of the year.
All right.
It stars nobody that you would recognize.
Fun.
It is a silent film, essentially.
Oh.
For the most part, a silent film. There is some dialogue, but it's like very minimal.
Okay.
Black and white. You know, they're going back to those kind
the
of movies.
Old days.
And it is wonderful. It stars this guy who was a Applejack beer salesman for fur trappers. He essentially had a bar for all like these big fur trappers. And, you know, that bar, he has like these two kegs of beer, like these giant kegs that get destroyed by beavers.
Oh, no.
So his bar goes kaput, and, you know, he starts pretty much from rock bottom, and he needs to now build himself up as the greatest North American fur trapper to get revenge on the beavers.
And why is this the greatest thing ever?
The comedy is just so good. It's wonderful. The animals, you know, because there are a lot of animals in this film. There's wolves, there's dogs, raccoons,
right.
Rabbits, and then, of course, beavers are all played by people in those costumes. And typically, those, like, people in the costumes are bigger than the actual, like, fur trapper guy.
I'm fascinated.
And that alone is wonderful. And it's this beautiful just combination of live action and animation with some of the worst, best VFX you have seen in your entire life.
Uh-huh. I'm compelled.
This movie should be seen by anyone and everyone. If you happen to live near or in Ithaca, New York, or just be a student at Ithaca College, you can go see this at Cinemopolis. It's going to be playing there for the rest of this week and next week, and then they are taking it out of there.
Dang.
So go see it.
I got to get the squad fam on that.
You should.
I got to get going.
It's amazing.
I've heard.
I've seen it twice.
Now. You've seen it twice?
Yes.
It was that good?
It was that good.
I'm fascinated. I will try
you
and
should.
Go see this.
You really should.
I really would like to.
To the box office.
The box office.
At number one for this week. A movie that Ethan doubted drastically.
I still doubt it.
And a movie that Ethan thought would make somewhere in the $20 million range.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at $45.2 million this weekend domestically. with a $61.6 million worldwide total is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Wow.
How does this make you feel, Ethan?
I still don't like that. I'm still poised against this movie for no reason. But good for the box office.
It is.
For the film industry.
It is.
It is another success.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, 2024 keeps trucking along.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Performing above expectations. I mean, whether or not you like the idea of this film, I just think it's kind of good for the industry as a whole, especially with how terrible this year started. Yes. So, you know, it's good, I guess. I mean, it was previously compared to Shazam, Fury of the Gods, which notoriously underperformed and started a terrible year for DC.
Yep.
So I'm just glad that it's not close to Shazam.
Does this, though, signify another Ghostbusters movie in the upcoming years?
I don't know, because so I did see this movie.
You would.
And I don't really know, because the film itself is kind of all over the place. It has way too many characters. It tries to be like the Avengers of Ghostbuster movies.
They don't need to do that.
Yeah. And it was just, they tried to do too much with too little time. There was one standout person. Let me get her name, because I want to give her credit, because I genuinely really liked her in this movie.
Was it McKenna Grace?
Yes, it was McKenna Grace, who is essentially the star of this film as Phoebe, and she was also pretty much the star of Ghostbusters Afterlife as well. She was really good. She's a really good actor. And in this film, she kind of, minor spoiler, has a queer relationship with a ghost?
Oh.
Question mark?
Oh.
And it was actually pretty compelling. I'm not gonna lie. And those moments were probably the strongest moments of this film. So, good for her, you know? Standing out in a overall mediocre film that had its moment, sure, but also, like, it'll probably maybe break even with its budget.
Probably.
I'm guessing that this is like a $100 million movie, so it should break even with that.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yay, movies.
The majority of this film's money was made from, like, matinee screenings, mm-hmm. so, like, pretty much family screenings. So, very much like the majority of this movie's audience is families. So in the future, if they did make more Ghostbusters movies, I think they would kind of throw the original characters away a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which,
how much are they here? Because I know I haven't seen Afterlife either, but I know they're, like, I don't think as big a part of that as they are here.
Yeah, no, they are very much just cameos in Afterlife. Here, they're in it a lot more.
Okay.
Dan Aykroyd is a pretty big character here, mm-hmm. Followed by Ernie Hudson, who is really rich in this film, and he's like the donor to the Ghostbusters. Okay. Bill Murray and Annie Potts are just kind of cameos.
All right.
You know, they aren't really in
they
here
show
much.
Up, though.
Bill Murray was good when he was in there, though.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love me some Bill.
Some Bill.
Yeah.
Of course.
What's promising is that chances are if they did make another Ghostbusters movie, it'll be more original because they'll focus more on the kids, because this is obviously becoming a family franchise.
Yeah.
So I'd say that that's a plus.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess we can move on.
Yeah. It's good to hear comparing it to the last time, like this time last year, the Paul Rudd franchise, mm-hmm. heavy CGI sequel, I would say was offensively bad in some parts.
Yeah.
Which also had a Bill Murray cameo, I just realized.
Yeah, it did have a Bill Murray cameo.
So, yeah. I guess I will side with you.
I think that this is better.
On the fact that this is not, like, a hate crime against the movie going public.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And is it great?
No.
Is it even good?
No.
It's
not
fine.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's serviceable.
It's serviceable. And, you know, if you want to have some Ghostbusters family fun, this gets the job done.
Well, seeing as I, my family is actually, they are not at Ithaca College with me. They're all the way back home. And I don't really have like a family here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's going to be any family fun for me.
I'm sorry, Ethan. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Who died?
I don't know. Moving on to a much better movie.
Dune.
Made $17.6 million this past weekend domestically, and now sits at a $574.4 million worldwide total.
That's a lot of cash.
It held really well, dropping under 40% at 38.3%, so that's really good. This has essentially become the Lisan al-Gaib for theaters.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
It's the best thing ever.
It is. I agree. It is the best thing ever until I saw Hundreds of Beavers. Yes. And then I was like, okay, the Beavers. I do love them very much.
Guys, Logan loves those Beavers.
I do love those Beavers.
Oh, yeah.
Love.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, it's like that.
Dune is now a $1 billion duology,
which is epic.
It is epic, especially when one of those came out essentially during peak pandemic times,
right,
with a like dual release on streaming and theatrically. So good for Dune. Let's see if it can maybe crack 700 million worldwide by the end of its run.
I think it could do that.
I think so too. But then we also did think Bob Marley could crack 100 million domestically, which we'll talk about later because not looking too good. Moving on. Kung Fu Panda 4.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
$16.8 million this past weekend in the US. $268.2 million worldwide as a total. It opened in China this weekend and made a little over 25 million.
Mm-hmm.
So. Good for that movie.
Good job, Kung Fu Panda.
And what do you think? Do you think that this movie probably lost some business to Ghostbusters?
I think definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's weird that Ghostbusters has kind of become like a family franchise.
Yeah.
But now that it is, it's kind of tough for Kung Fu Panda.
It's doing some damage.
Yeah. But I'm curious what's going to stick around longer, whether it's Kung Fu Panda or Ghostbusters. Yeah. Because like Kung Fu Panda is animated. It has so far been holding up really well, while Ghostbusters, it doesn't have as good of reviews, and it's live action, and we have a lot of other live action films coming out, and I think especially Godzilla,
yeah,
I think could really take a big chunk out of Ghostbusters' milkshake.
Definitely.
Yeah. What do you think?
A chunk out of its milkshake.
Yes.
This is a solid milkshake that you can like bite chunks out of. Not like a more liquid texture.
I mean, I was more of trying to do the "there will be blood" thing, but I couldn't remember the exact
so
quote.
So you actually screwed it up, Logan.
I'm
mad at you.
That.
Jason is mad at you.
Damn.
Yeah.
Jason's mad at me. I'm gonna have to live with that. Okay.
You will.
Well, what do you think?
I think Kung Fu Panda is definitely going to hold better. It's interesting to see Dune overtaking it. Even if it's just by less than $1 million, I was kind of predicting that based on how well Dune had been holding, that it would overtake Kung Fu Panda 4, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think speaks to Dune being the more successful. Like, obviously, it's making more money, but it was always going to. I think just on a hold level, Dune 2 is doing better.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very curious to see, because I think, again, like you said, Ghostbusters might hold well, but as like the premier family flick in theaters to rival Kung Fu Panda, I don't necessarily know if it's going to be that like past this weekend.
Exactly.
We'll see.
And also, it's just kind of like Ghostbusters, I could see dropping to under 20 million next week.
I could too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, it just, I don't think it has that kind of stable appeal.
Right.
Like Kung Fu Panda or Dune has had.
And I think when you have reviews that are on the less positive side, mm-hmm. it tends to be that the people who are still interested go out opening weekend, and then it kind of falters a little more heavily.
Exactly. But we'll find out. Maybe it sticks around.
We will see.
And we'll be wrong. Because we were wrong about this movie last weekend.
Yeah.
So could be wrong again.
At least I was.
I was also kind of wrong.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I think it'll go on the low end of projections. Right. But instead it performed slightly above projections.
Well, let's see if those ghosts can freeze the box office where it's at and stay number one. That was pathetic.
Yes. They will outperform Godzilla 100%. So moving on. Immaculate. $5.36 million weekend domestically. This is its first weekend out, and it does not have an international release yet. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That it's done this well. Did you think it was going to do this well?
I did, because I'd seen it on social media making the rounds. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Sydney Sweeney's attached. That will get people in seats. Me and my friends were talking about going to see this.
Yeah.
Good for Immaculate. Good for Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. I'm happy with how this is performing. Yeah. I think it's pretty good. And I've started to see this TikTok trend, which I want to show you.
Oh.
To gauge your live reaction.
These people look like they just saw God and were very disappointed, but also kind of bamboozled. In like a fun way.
Yeah.
But they really don't know what to think. They're more than anything, they're just trying to form an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Pretty much like shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Their best friend clearly just told them all that like they took a massive dump and they're like trying to keep the secret, but it's really challenging. Because everyone's out there asking who took this giant crap.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So you don't think that they actually saw Immaculate? You just think that that's what it is?
They may have seen Immaculate.
Okay.
They may or may not have seen Immaculate.
May or may not have. Yeah. So after you've seen that trend, do you think that that trend is something that could actually catch some traction and keep Immaculate going?
Totally. Look at like a Saltburn last year.
Yeah. I think so too.
The shock value stuff,
mm-hmm.
with like a, not that Barry Keoghan is like as, I would say, not as big a name as Sydney Sweeney, so this might even help Immaculate even more. It's like,
yeah.
It gains traction off of that sort of stuff.
And especially because Sydney Sweeney is posting these.
Yeah.
Like, people literally might go see Immaculate, make a TikTok, and be like, go see Immaculate to make a TikTok that Sydney Sweeney might post.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that helps.
Yeah. No one wants to miss out.
No one does.
Except for all the people who don't give Immaculate $5 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking? Immaculate's going to make $5 billion by the end of its run?
Two more billion.
So you think 7 billion?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I could see it getting up to like 10, 20, maybe even 50.
How about trillion?
That's pushing it. But who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about quadrillion?
80 septillion dollars.
I don't know how many zeros that is.
That is a lot of zeros. Yeah. Like in the 20s of zeros, yeah. I think.
I wonder how much times.
Hey, someone's got to be the first to do it.
Yeah, that is true. Someone.
Remove all of this, please.
So, I'm really interested to see how Immaculate compares to the upcoming First Omen movie, which is technically a prequel to the Omen horror franchise, but I did not know that the Omen was even a horror franchise to begin with. So I think a lot of people are going to go into that movie assuming it's like wholly original, which is kind of cool. So we'll see.
Right. Which just is like a word of mouth thing might hurt it if people go in and then wind up being confused because it connects to something they haven't seen.
Yeah.
But just like, I love the trailer. I think people who go see that trailer before Immaculate are going to be interested in it.
Yeah, the trailer is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really odd how we have two non-horror movies both dealing with the birth of a devil or a demon coming out within a span of 2 weeks of each other.
Yep.
One of them has Sydney Sweeney and one of them has the best horror trailer I've seen in my life.
Really?
Have you seen a better horror trailer than that?
I've seen better horror trailers, but I did think at this point, because there's such a trend you see among horror trailers of mm-hmm. like, this is where the jump scare's gonna happen. Yeah. And it's so atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's one of the best out there, but I think it is noticeably really effective. And like, I saw that for the first time. I was like, oh, I'm gonna pull out my phone during the trailers to add this to my watch list so I don't forget it, which I don't usually do.
That's cool.
Yeah.
For me, I was like, I just found it to actually be scary.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever really seen a horror trailer be scary.
Yeah.
So that's why I was kind of like, oh, this is the best horror trailer. But yeah.
It's a dang good one.
It is a dang good one. Moving on.
Moving on.
Arthur the King, $4.36 million this weekend.
Marky Mark.
$14.7 million worldwide total.
Good job, Marky Mark.
Overall, meh.
Meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on. Late Night with the Devil. This is a really cool one that I'm kind of excited to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Made $2.8 million this weekend, like domestically. No international release. It is just a huge indie hit. It's playing in only just over 1,000 theaters.
Which is not a lot of theaters.
Yeah, that's not a lot at all, because I think the big movies usually play in around 4,500.
4, yeah.
And it stars David Desmalchian from, you know, movies like The Dark Knight, Oppenheimer,
Prisoners, The Suicide Squad.
He's always just a creepy guy.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting because there wasn't a lot of advertising for this aside from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I got this movie advertised to me a bunch of times on YouTube. But aside from that, like, I hadn't heard of this
movie. I'm trying to remember where I saw, because I didn't get any ads for it on YouTube, but this was on my radar.
Maybe like Instagram?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just really cool.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I definitely won't end up seeing this in theaters because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm going to like try and see this when it comes on digital or whatever.
Because
just from very brief vibes that I have gotten off of like ads, like I looked at it on Letterboxd and it looks just cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to check this out.
You know, I'm really excited for this. If it's still in theaters like in April, I'll go see it. But I'm assuming they're going to pull it out
probably by
then. So chances are I'll also see it on digital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
That's all.
That's all. That's okay. All. Imaginary. $2.8 million this past weekend.
It's still here. It must be real.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe that's what we're discovering.
Wow.
$30.2 million worldwide total. The Teddy Bear Remains.
The Teddy Bear Remains.
Yeah.
That trailer was so annoying. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was a really annoying trailer. And the movie was terrible.
And you said you didn't get it that much when you were home, like over break.
Yeah, no, not really.
Yeah. It was the second Argyle.
For you?
It was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's doing better than Argyle, I think, on like a basis of Argyle cost $200 million to make in did terrible compared to that. Well, like, Imaginary is kind of doing the way it was expected to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
any movie that does better than Argyle makes me happy.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
Moving on to a more sad situation. Love Lies Bleeding did not end up catching on like we were hoping it would.
Boo!
Dropping down to $1.6 million this past weekend. $5.6 million worldwide total, but only domestically because...
And this is after it added theaters.
Yeah, I know. Which really sucks.
Yeah.
So maybe it can kind
Guys,
of hit
on...
Guys,
go see it. It's so vibes. I promise you.
It's so good.
It's so vibes.
And what was really weird, too, is that I made a review for this on YouTube that, like, blew up.
It did?
And it's still blowing up. Like, I think it has almost 2,000 views. So I thought, oh, that must mean that, like...
Now they really know Logan likes movies.
Yeah, apparently. So, like, I thought that that would mean, oh, a lot of people are hearing about Love Lies Bleeding and
because, like, that's the one that blew up.
Yeah. And that was weird because that's, like, a small movie review that I did.
Yeah.
Moving on, I guess.
Sure.
Cabrini. $1.4 million this weekend domestically, $16.4 million worldwide total. So we were talking last week about a little race between Cabrini and another religious-based movie, Ordinary Angels.
Yes.
Ordinary Angels right now is at $18.9 million, like worldwide total. So can Cabrini catch up?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I think so.
Okay. So just, I feel like it might have like a Bob Marley moment where just next weekend it loses a lot of theaters and it just kind of screws it up. Maybe.
It's 2 weeks behind.
Yeah.
And even if it does fall, given competition next week, I still think it could get there.
Okay.
We'll see.
We will see.
Ordinary Angel seems to be at the end of its rope.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely at the end of its rope. We'll talk about it a little later.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right. I guess we'll find out next week.
Yep.
Bob Marley won Love.
Bob Marley.
$1.1 million this past weekend. $173.4 million worldwide total. So, last week, we talked about this movie crossing 100 million.
Yes.
I think we can now confidently say that that is not going to happen.
Ha ha, suck it, Bob. I'm just kidding. I was listening to Bob Marley last night for like 20 minutes. I love you, Bob. I love you, Bob. We're so sorry.
His music's so good, though, yeah. Right? Yeah, I love it. So, I guess now at this point, it's just, can this movie at least pass Rocket Man?
Maybe.
Is that like 95?
Could get there.
And Rocket Man, I think, was at like 96.4.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a very slow crawl to the finish, but it might get there.
Let's hope.
We're rooting for you, Bob.
My fingers are crossed for you, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Please do well.
Please. For us and Jason.
Yes, for Jason too. At the end of the day, I do really want to praise this film because ever since Bob Marley, the box office has been really resurged.
Yeah.
And I think that started with this film, which destroyed expectations, where it was expected to total out at 35 to 69 million domestically.
69. Cut that.
And so now it's gonna probably make around 96 to 97 million.
Yeah.
And then almost 200 million, like, worldwide. That's awesome.
Good job.
Good job, Bob. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just too bad it couldn't be Bob Marley 100 million love.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Maybe next time. There is no next time, but maybe next time.
Maybe with the Amy Winehouse movie. But probably not. Yeah. Maybe with the Timothée Chalamet Bob Dylan movie that's filming in New York right now.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Have you seen those pictures?
I have seen those pictures.
Yeah. He looks pretty good.
He does. He's Timmy. So he is Timmy. He's going to light up the box office no matter what he's doing.
Yeah. At this point, I think that's kind of a guarantee.
He could be in Wonka 2 and be doing very questionable things to the Oompa Loompas, and he'll still make that cash.
I agree. Moving on. Our fallen heroes out of the top 10. Cut the music. So, last week we had a lot of movies to cover. This week, not so much.
But still.
One Life.
R.I.P.
One weekend in the top 10, but worldwide, it has so far made $37 million.
Yes.
Good for that movie. Next, American Society of Magical Negroes.
R.I.P.
One weekend in the top 10, $2.2 million worldwide total, was at Cinemopolis for a week, and they already pulled it out.
That's terrible.
Yeah. And finally, Ordinary Angels.
R.I.P.
4 weekends in the top 10. 18.9 million worldwide total.
Let's go, Christ.
Yeah. Good for you, John Gunn. May these movies forever live in the desolate, overcrowded wasteland of streaming and video on demand.
We salute you.
Now, I have a mini rant.
You have a mini rant. Go for it.
Yes. Roadhouse should have been a theatrical release.
I have a side rant relating to this.
I'm excited.
Every movie should be a theatrical release. Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
And I just want to say, with Roadhouse in particular, it's this big action-y movie. Did I think it was that good? No, but it's flashy enough to have been a theatrical release. Jake Gyllenhaal is Jake Gyllenhaal. This is Conor McGregor's feature film debut. It had enough to probably generate, like, maybe a solid $50 million worldwide total. Yeah. You know, like, that's something. And especially if Amazon is already planning on making this a streaming movie, any cent would be a plus for Amazon.
Right.
Because that's money that you weren't even planning on getting made in the first place.
Yeah.
So, like, why not?
I don't know.
All you're doing is damaging the industry and the theatrical business, which the industry is trying to shift back to now because they are realizing that streaming is not as profitable. And what are you doing, Amazon? You are doing the reverse because you suck.
Stop it, Amazon. Yeah. Stop it. Jeff Bezos, boo.
Because at the end of the day, Amazon doesn't care about the theatrical industry. They're just trying to give more people a reason to subscribe to Amazon Prime because they are making money from Amazon Prime whether or not you're, like, into the movies, because it's, like, for shipping and music and for a lot of other things. So they don't care about the film industry, and it sucks.
Jeff Bezos, boo, too bald, loser.
Wait, did you just say he's too bald?
Yeah, maybe.
You know who else is bald?
Who else? Oh, my God.
So what do you have to say?
I'm sorry, Jason Statham, because I know that in offending the bald community, I probably offended you too. That being said, boo, Jeff Bezos! Cut that.
Moving on.
Yeah.
So, we are almost at the end of our show.
We are.
Next weekend. We got some theatrical releases coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Godzilla X Kong, New Empire will be coming in theaters.
Was there an old Empire?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. We have back-to-back Empire movies.
Empire market is a little oversaturated. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe the old Empire was the Frozen Empire.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It would be crazy.
So the new empire is just like a not frozen empire?
Yeah.
I need more adjectives than just new.
I mean, apparently one of the villains in this movie is like a Godzilla clone that like has ice breath.
Yes. So maybe the frozen empire lives on.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out.
We'll see.
I have a little plot summary.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie with big monkey and lizard monsters, but now they're teaming up? !
Now, what's crazy about that, though, is that it's kind of half wrong, because in Godzilla vs. Kong, they do team up.
True, but that's a spoiler.
Mecha Godzilla. Who cares? Who cares?
We don't care.
Does anyone care about this franchise? Like, I know people are spending money to go see it, and it will make money, mm-hmm. which we will talk about in approximately 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But there are so many actors in this franchise that I forget are in this franchise mm-hmm. because I don't care about this franchise. And be honest, I don't think a lot of others do. But they will still show up because big monster fight, yay, adrenaline, fun, popcorn, entertainment, movie, woohoo, theater.
Yeah. Like these – what's neat about these movies, though, is like – the theatrical experience of them must be pretty fun.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm kind of excited to go and see this at some point because I haven't seen any of these movies in a theater since the first Godzilla.
Godzilla vs. Kong in theaters.
How was that?
It was mid.
The movie is mid. Like, how was the experience?
Also mid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Were there a lot of people?
There were a decent amount of people, but I do, if I'm correct, that was, like, a weekend or two after I had seen the first Mission Impossible, which was re-released in the theater that was near me.
Oh, okay.
And so just comparing the two, it was always going to be mid.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, do you plan on seeing this new Godzilla movie?
You already know my answer.
Of course you do.
Of course, obviously, because I see all the movies that we talk about here.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never missed one.
Nope.
Yeah.
Never.
So, duh.
So, it's projected to make a low 43 to 52 million right now.
Could I please have a low 43 to 52 million dollars? Just a low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love that too, but like, I feel like that just seems really low to me.
Not to me.
What do you think compared to Dune?
That's more than half.
True.
Yeah.
But like, Ghostbusters made 45.
I feel like Ghostbusters. I don't know. Does Ghostbusters have more of the family angle than this? I would say so.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. But like, there is a kid in this movie that's featured prominently in advertising. There is a kid
in this movie.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And Millie Bobby Brown was a star of this franchise, but she is not back in this movie because she cost too much.
She cost too much.
Yes.
Right.
So... What are you thinking?
But those guys behind Damsel, they had all the money in their
Netflix
pockets.
Has all the money in their pockets, so there you go. And she was probably like half the budget of Damsel.
Probably.
Let's be honest. Yes. So what do you think?
I think this sounds about right.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to go like high end or low end. I think this rough estimate.
Just this rough estimate?
Is accurate.
Okay. I'm going to go a little big right now. Now that we've seen a lot of films either outperform expectations or perform at their high end of expectations, I expect this movie to have a 6 in front of it.
Really?
Kung Fu Panda made $60 million.
Not opening weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm pretty sure it made $60 million opening weekend.
It was in like the...
Am I wrong?
I hope so. Made 58.
Okay, so really close.
Yes.
I think that this movie can do better than Kung Fu Panda's opening weekend.
Yeah?
I think because it has some family appeal, because at the end of the day, like, the first Godzilla movie was a lot more adult than the rest of the movies in this in this franchise. And I remember being a little kid getting taken to see that movie. So that had family appeal. Does this movie not have even more? Like, there's a pink Godzilla.
Perhaps. There's a pink Godzilla.
Godzilla is pink in this movie.
Yes.
Like, does that not kind of scream family to you?
I don't think so.
Really?
And I think that there is more behind the Kung Fu Panda franchise than this monster franchise, which is weird to say because it's Godzilla.
Yeah.
And it's King Kong.
Yeah.
But just, I don't think they have done anything with these creatures, these monster character things, to warrant genuine hype. And I think a lot of people grew up with Kung Fu Panda that are like our age, if not even older, that were going to go see it. Plus you have younger audiences. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, you did think the same thing with Ghostbusters.
I've been wrong once. I might be wrong again. Who knows? We'll see.
We'll have to
wait and see. I'm predicting this to make... 50.16 million dollars.
$50.16 million. Nice. Okay.
I will be proven right.
I'm predicting it to make 62.
62
million.
Do you not have enough confidence in yourself to go to the decimal places? Because I did. I went to the tenths. Nay, I went to the hundredths place.
Sorry about that. Okay, fine. 62.47.
62.47.
Yes.
I guess we'll just have to see.
We will have to see.
Whoever's closer gets to keep the Jason Statham head for the week after.
You're wagering the Jason.
Absolutely.
This is
ours to share now.
Okay. So is this just going to be how it is? We're going to like have bets on predictions.
I think that makes this more fun.
It does make it more fun.
Yeah.
For the Jason Statham head.
Can we write this in right now?
Sure.
I look forward to keeping Jason.
I look forward to taking Jason.
Yeah, but those two can't coexist.
No.
So, I'm not going to give.
What if
I will if you win, but I'm
but you don't think I'm going to win.
No.
I guess we'll find out.
You're going to like rent out full theaters for this.
Yeah. I'm going to do like you know what people did for Angel Studios when Sound of Freedom came out.
Yeah, you've got like 6 shell companies. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a money laundering scheme.
Yes.
Yep.
I got this in the bag.
Wow.
It's over already.
Dang.
You wager Jason Statham for a week. Final movie that we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. It's not in theaters during the weekend. As you listen to this podcast, if you are listening the day it comes out, Wednesday, it was out yesterday night.
It's out now, guys.
And that is when I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
It is out tonight, Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
And it is out tomorrow night, Thursday night.
And probably some nights after that.
Maybe, but those are not announced yet.
Okay.
All of those showings are at 7 o'clock, run by Fathom Events. Whether or not you have AMC, like A-List or Regal Unlimited, you do need to pay for this movie, which does kind of suck.
Only, no, it doesn't. It's like worth it.
It is worth it. Only like $14. And that is to see The Godfather 2 of our generation.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So go and see this movie.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. It rhymes, so it you does. Know it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You do not need to see the first one, I have been told.
No. The first one, like, barely anything happens.
I mean, clearly enough happens.
Yeah.
To generate the hype that this has received.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They are making a Pooniverse.
A Pooniverse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it is like the MCU, but Winnie the Pooh.
The MC Pooh.
Yes, the MC Pooh. And do you know about this?
I vaguely know about this because okay. You told me.
Well, let me then discuss for the audience what movies are going to be included in the Pooniverse.
The Pooniverse.
We have Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 1, the original. Of course. The starter of this universe, okay? We have Blood and Honey 2, what is out right now and you need to go and see.
Oh,
you do
yes.
not have a choice.
You don't. We'll force you to.
Yes, we will. There's going to be a Bambi horror movie. Yes, they will make a killer Bambi. They will make a killer Peter Pan. And they will also be making a killer Pinocchio.
All right.
And then, when all is said and done, next year at some point will be Pooniverse Monsters Assembled.
Let's go.
Where all the monsters in the Pooniverse assemble, kill each other, and kill their main person, probably.
Wonderful. I'm so hyped. This Blood and Honey 2 is going to be the Dune Part 2 of this year.
Yes.
Yep. There is nothing wrong with what I just said.
No, there's nothing wrong at all.
There are no logical flaws with that statement, with that superlative.
No.
Yeah.
Because Dune Part 2 did not come out this year.
Definitely not.
No.
No.
Not at all.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Like I said, The Godfather Part 2 of our generation, go and see this movie.
Please go see this movie.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for listening to Popcorn Premieres, the podcast that you just listened to with me, Ethan, and Logan, the other guy.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this episode.
What he said.
We'll see you next week.
We will.
Take care.
Take care.